I had the chance to go to Chernobyl in 1993, and I really became hooked.
Award-winning German-American photojournalist Gerd Ludwig is best known for his work on the upheaval in post-Soviet Russia and the aftermath of the Chernobyl nuclear disaster. Lena Nozizwe caught up with him in Los Angeles.
DW.
The earliest and most powerful imagery in photojournalist Gerd Ludwig's life has nothing to do with a camera. Instead, it was his father's voice. He remembers at the age of 4, listening to his father's memories of war in a small room in a small village near Frankfurt, Germany.
At night, I would listen to the sad and soothing voice of my father as he conjured images of people fighting and of other people hiding from soldiers in stables and barns. I didn't know what my father was talking about. I considered his stories bedtime stories. Only later I realized that the people fighting were German soldiers. The people hiding from them in stables and barns were Russians filled with fear. And that my father was trying to shed his terrible memories of war this way.
His father, Robert, was a soldier in Germany's 6th Army that invaded the Soviet Union in 1942. He fought through to Ukraine and into Stalingrad, where Russian forces ultimately struck back. Ludwig says his father was among the last soldiers to be evacuated.
I asked my father later, Dad, why did you fight there? You know, he never said a single bad word about Russians. So I asked him, why did you fight there? And his answer, it was warm, my son, wasn't good enough.
His father's recollections would later impact the images that would fill his viewfinder, and they would frame his point of view.
I grew up as this typical post-war German, filled with guilt for my parents' deeds. And subsequently, I started to idolize and idealize everything that my parents' generation had tried to destroy: Israel and the Soviet Union.
Guilt would be superimposed over his photography, an area of interest that started to develop when he was a teenager, although he says he never imagined that photography would turn into a career. So when it was time to go to college, he majored in political science, along with physical education and German literature. But he says he switched to photography when he realized its power after reading an impactful magazine article. He contemplated becoming a high school photography teacher in Germany. But after college in 1979, he got an assignment that would take him back to the original scene of his childhood memories. It was for the publication GEO, the German equivalent of National Geographic.
But during those days, I didn't allow myself to make critical pictures of a nation that had suffered from my parents' generation's deeds for such a long time. So while my first images there were a really depiction of the Russian soul, they lacked social and economic context. They ignored the social and economic realities of a country that had been under Soviet rule for 70 years.
He would return more than 30 times to a place that he was introduced to via his father's macabre bedtime stories.
When I first then went to Russia, I saw pictures of my childhood. I saw a country that I knew. My father had described it in his nightly stories. So I was drawn to that country. And at the same time, I think I'm still working off my German guilt by trying to understand Russia, trying to understand and respect that nation.
More international assignments followed, including shooting for the Day in the Life book franchise. In the 1980s, Ludwig relocated to the United States, where he was approached by the holy grail of photojournalists, National Geographic.
A lot of people will ask, how do you become a National Geographic photographer? They call you, you don't call them. And then I presented my work there and started to work for them. And the rest is history. I've worked for them since the late 1980s.
He has become well known for his photographic studies of countries that were once part of the former Soviet Union. On April 26, 1986, an accident led to what's considered the worst nuclear power plant disaster in history at the Chernobyl nuclear power plant in Ukraine.
I had the chance to go to Chernobyl in 1993, and I really became hooked. I returned over and over again. I was deeper inside the Chernobyl reactor than any Western still photographer.
Going deep inside the reactor required the help of an engineer guide.
So it took him a long time to open the jammed door. The adrenaline surge, of course, was incredible. The room was absolutely dark, lit only by our headlamps at the time. Wires were obstructing my view. At the end of the room, I could make out a clock. I was only able to shoot off a few strobes and wanted to wait for my flash to recharge. But at that point, the engineer already pulled me back by my shoulders. I checked my pictures outside, but they were all out of focus. I begged him to go in one more time. He gave me a few more seconds to frame the clock, which is showing 1:23 a.m., the time when on April 26, 1986, the building that housed the block number 4, when there time stood still forever. The clock froze in that very moment.
Ludwig has been able to freeze time at Chernobyl several times since then, with repeat visits in 2011 and 2013, images that are all encapsulated in his book, The Long Shadow of Chernobyl.
This report was brought to you by DW.